Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
It's an NBC News bombshell as the Me Too movement turns 1 year old. It just hit Fahrenheit 11.9 as Hollywood gets riled over Kavanaugh and midterms. AGT domestic abuse scandal, Beyonce witchcraft, and the curious case of Kylie's cereal. All that and more on Meet the Hollywood Press for September 23rd, 2018. I'm Alina Vision and your host of Meet the Hollywood Press, Joseph Capsch.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to a new episode. Welcome, Alina.
Thank you. Happy Sunday.
How are you?
I'm good.
So much to dive into. Some up, some down topics here. But I want to quickly introduce my guest panelists today. Joining me at the table, Enrique. Say your last name so I don't mess it up.
Sapini.
Thank you. See, I would have messed that up. He is the host of Glitter Bomb TV. Congrats on the show,
by the way. Thank you.
Also, so I don't mess this up, because as a host, I never like other people to describe my show because I want to present it how I want to present it. Tell the viewers about Glitter Bomb TV.
Well, Glitter Bomb is if Ellen and Watch What Happens Live had a gay son. That's pretty much what
that was. Latin gay son. Okay.
But yeah, but that's exactly what it is. It's a talk show. It's the first talk show to cater to the Latinx community, LGBT talk show to the Latinx community.
Which is really cool because also it's Hispanic Heritage Month. So you guys launched. Was that coincidental?
No, not really. We somehow it just happened.
No,
but yet right before, because it's starting right now, right? Spanish Heritage Month.
You should know this.
See?
September 15th and it ends on October 15th.
Right. Yeah. There we go.
Which is why I actually was looking, because we pride ourselves at Meet the Hollywood Press on a diverse, you know, a diverse rotation of panelists, and I was looking at the shows and I said, you know, I'm kind of Latin deficient, and it kind of jived that I called some friends and they were like, oh, it's, you know, it's Heritage Month, and I was like, perfect.
Done deal.
Exactly.
And here I am.
Yes. Also joining us is, he comes from within the ABTV family
world,
Joseph Shepard.
Yes.
Who is also a CBS producer.
Yes.
And you host the America's Got Talent, which is where you came to my attention, because I saw some of his clips and I was like, oh, he really knows what he's talking about. I should have him on the show. And he's also here because there's an exciting story that you're at the center of.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
It has to do with cereal. It's super important.
Yeah,
but we'll dive into that. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, so that being said, Me Too turns one. Because there's been so much, like, people accused and stories, does it not feel like it's been 10 years? Is that just... And I say that with love, in a good way, because I don't want it to ever end until everything's changed, right? But it turns exactly 1 year, October 5th. That is basically when the first Harvey Weinstein New York Times bombshell dropped, and that started off the movement. So obviously right now what I want to first discuss... Oh, I went off my own rundown. I actually messed up. What I first want to discuss is Emmys from last weekend, which feels like that's also a year away. But very quickly, to pick up on last week's conversation, do you guys both watch the Emmys?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so what did you think?
I wasn't impressed.
You?
Felt the same way, and I also don't understand why the Emmys are at this time of the year. Like, all the award shows are all at one time of the year, and then this is one that I forget all the time.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's like
you'd think it would benefit it too, that it's like sort of out of the award season. But so basically, it hit its all time low. And here's the thing, in my opinion, from a production standpoint, because Lorne Michaels from SNL produced the show and used his 2 weekend update anchors to host, who I thought were great, but they got like pummeled for their monologue by a lot, by more critics than liked it. It ended up scoring the lowest, even lower than last year. It just keeps progressively going down.
Well, they said a lot that it was like a big SNL sketch, the whole thing.
But why is that a bad thing?
I mean, some people, I mean, also there were people that they felt really uncomfortable about the proposal.
Yeah.
Which was super weird. Some people were like, wait, that's private. I don't want to have anything to do with that.
That's interesting.
And it was like weird mixed reactions.
Oh, you mean the marriage proposal?
I loved it.
Yes, I loved it.
That felt very Today Show to me. I was like, what's going on? I was waiting for like Hoda and Kathy Lee to come out. Hey!
Totally.
But no, so anyway, just to touch on it really quickly, so they tried something new right after also the Emmys. It was interesting because they're coming off like a season high streak. They announced that their chief is leaving too. Bob Greenblatt's like leaving the network. Listen, I say more power to him. I think we touched on this last week, and then I'll move quickly to current stuff because it feels so far away. They're honoring all these shows that don't air on broadcast TV. And they're targeting a demographic that I don't think has interest in watching any award show unless someone comes up with this new formula, in my opinion, that caters to the streaming shows that are all getting honored. They're not the people that watch award shows. They're younger demographic people. Is that fair to say? Is that safe to say?
A little delicate. Didn't they have like also a big fiasco with the MTV Awards too?
MTV is a fiasco.
They changed the whole format and the whole thing. It's like, oh, now we're going to get the kids. And the kids were like,
We didn't even know the VMAs were happening until, like, the day they were happening. Like,
but they
didn't advertise.
At the same time, I feel like all these award shows just keep going down the ratings. I mean, as years go by, people are not tuning in to network television.
It just felt a little wonky. Like, even the music they play when the, you know, people get awarded and they're walking up, it was just so 1950s. Like, everything just needs to be updated. And it just, the people that should be watching it are not watching it.
Yeah.
And it's,
just be one mega award show. The music, the movie,
it's a three-hour event,
and it's just sped through really fast.
And it could be simulcast on every single, social media platform, every single network.
The Ultimate
Award. Coming everywhere.
Sponsored by Red Bull.
Good idea. I like that, guys. I really like that.
Okay. You could be onto something.
Moving on. So till next year when they go down another million. Okay, so now back to Me Too, because that's uplifting right now. So, on a serious note, it turns one. The Harvey Weinstein stuff was a year ago, which to me feels very long ago, because as I was reading this morning, 550 total people have been accused in this movement. So that's like literally more than one a day in a year's time. Mm-hmm. Okay, producers, writers, directors, you name it, actors.
Actors.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everybody's on the list.
Everyone. Okay, so what Itai Hot, who's a regular contributor here, did this like 13-part series at the Wrap. Hey, Itai, he watches. And he started to look after Me Too, basically. This is what prompted sort of me want to cover this. And so he talked to some of the bigger name people that really, Rose McGowan, like some of the the pioneers of this movement, of how life has changed. And you would think that the results of it were like great. They came out and this is open door. It's like the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's like it's affected some of these women and men's careers. They've been bullied online. They've been
fired.
Yeah.
They get threats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to start with this question, Enrique and Joseph. Do you think even now, a year later, where we're at, that the Me Too and the Time's Up movement is doing enough? And if not, how could they be more effective in continuing?
I think they're absolutely doing a lot. And then they've changed us forever. And they've created an awareness that and a voice that wasn't there before. And people now at least feel free to like step up and say, this is what happened to me. Look at what's happening right now politically.
Yeah.
You know, and this woman who, Ford, Dr. Ford, who she couldn't she didn't want to do it because she didn't want to be in the spotlight, but she had to come to Jesus moment where, like, no, I have to say this because we can't allow this person to go into this position, and me, knowing what I know, not say it. Yeah. So they've completely changed the spectrum. Now, that the consequences have not all been positive, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But I fully support it. And I think that, you know, these people, as hard as it is to talk about it and come out and say it, they should do it, and more and more and more, and we should hear the stories.
So, okay, so to pick up with that from you, Joseph, then, okay, so you're saying the movement and Time's Up, the activists in this, are doing enough. I think this is what it is. Is Hollywood's response in, like, the power positions that are needing to react to this and make changes throughout organizations, are they doing enough?
In all honesty, I know this is not technically answering what you asked me, but I want to say something before.
Sure.
I feel like these things are so big that they need to be solved internally before being made press.
Yeah.
Because what is happening is that somebody will come out and they will give their story and they'll give their side and they'll try to get somebody to go down. And then the internet and Twitter, whatever, is like, well, who do we trust? How do we know this person isn't being, you know, isn't lying? How do we know this person isn't just has a vendetta against somebody else?
Yeah.
And it becomes this big taking sides thing. And then you're getting too into it when in actuality, it should be an internal investigation. Things should happen. And then you go from there. I feel like the public aspect is making it a lot worse.
Internal investigation by themselves, though, policing themselves, because that's a good segue into NBC News in a second. Right. Give me a second.
And then but I think, you know, by being public, it's why we're having this conversation now.
True.
You know, so it's like you can't take that away. We need to learn how to handle it better, probably, if you want to be more private about it and everything. But I feel because of how public it was, people are confident to talk about it and come out and say,
but do you think that that media organizations should be policing themselves in these investigations?
No. I think they should always be outsourced.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, like, when things become so big in the media attention, you're getting people forming sides and, like, you're never really getting anything.
Alina, what do you think about that? Because I want to hear from a female perspective, because do you think that sometimes they maybe don't trust going internally before they feel like they have? What's your
feeling? Absolutely. I think the reason why a lot of the women go to the press first is because they feel like they'll be reprimanded at work. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll hit some roadblocks. You know, obviously with the NBC story that we're going to be talking about,
people,
it just gets swept under the rug. So it's like your only recourse really is to go to the press and to be heard. And I think, especially with everything that happened since the Ronan Farrow bombshell came out a year ago, mm-hmm. more females are feeling like, okay, this is probably the right way to go, is to the press.
Yeah.
Because am I really going to get a fair shot if I go to HR? And I'm hearing all of these other people who went to their HR and nothing happened.
Correct. I'm here to tell you, you won't get a fair shake at HR. I am high. I'm living proof of that. A couple times over. I feel like internally and as a hiring manager, because I've been on both sides where you're orchestrating someone's departure, HR is not, they're not your friend.
Yeah.
And HR also works for the top of
Correct.
The company.
Who's writing their checks.
They're who's writing exactly. their checks. So I love it how it's like, it's HR. So they're like, they're objective. And it's like, but they're getting their check from
exactly.
the president of the company, who can at any point go, get rid of them, please.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, that's another whole episode. But, so back to this NBC News. Okay. And I know it seems like I love talking. Full disclaimer, I worked at NBC News years ago, because Access Hollywood falls under the NBC News division, and then I also worked at NBC.com. And I know it may seem like I have some, I actually had a great experience myself working there, but it seems like I love talking about NBC, but it's like NBC brings it on themselves. Like every time the show is about to air, there's yet another story that breaks, whether it be Matt Lauer, whether it be the Ryan Seacrest, whether it be the... So suffice to say, this latest one, to just give viewers and listeners a little background really quickly. So the NBC News division, which is ran under a gentleman named Andy Lack, who much of the industry knows, but for, you know, consumer listeners, this might be a name you've never heard of. But he is basically the guy that's, like, was Matt Lauer's boss. He's the boss over the Today Show, the boss of all, like, the news programs. So a really explosive article broke on the Daily Beast on right before the weekend, you know, Hollywood's bad news dump. Friday.
Friday news dump.
Yeah, Friday news dump. And it was basically how Andy Lack is being accused of turning in his cheek to accusations when people were coming forward about sexual harassers in his network. And previously, before NBC News, it was more focused heavily on Charlie Walk, the music executive who was on the Four and got thrown off for those accusations. That basically this was brought to him years back. And so I guess where I'm leading to this, because NBC, again, they're sticking to their story. They basically said, none of this went on. We support Andy. Because, you know, the article started to say they're getting sick of hearing, even the higher-ups of Comcast are sick of hearing about NBC News and all their issues, whether it be Matt Lauer or this one or that one. And they stood behind their guy. But then this was the curious part that I want to talk about. So the woman who had come forward about someone at NBC News that later on left the network, because this was someone that worked under Andy that was on this whole Ronan Farrow investigative journalist unit. And what the article pointed out was a person on the unit to decide if Ronan's story should be told at NBC News and go public was accused of sexual harassment himself, okay, and worked under Andy Lack, which is just crazy on any way you look at it, at any network, at any place. And so she got a settlement, and they're saying, and that money had nothing to do with the previous. I feel bad for the public, because to me it's getting into like Sarah Huckabee Sanders territory when they're releasing these statements. So I just want to, she left the network, she was accused, and that $1 million had nothing to do with all of that. It's like she must have been a really damn good producer, because I don't know anyone who gets settlements
like that.
It's Sarah
Huckabee with Stormy Daniels.
Yes, thank you. What's your general feeling on this, like NBC and this whole thing about, because this is again what I'm saying about Me Too. He's a person who makes decisions and can change the culture, you know, like at NBC News, that he's that high up. Do you feel that this is, what is your feelings on the story?
Well, I mean, I think we have this saying in Spanish, de que cuando el ruido suena es porque piedras trae. Translation is like when the river makes noises, it's because it's dragging rocks.
Yeah.
And it has to be looked into. And it doesn't surprise me at all that these people that are in this position, they've been getting away with this for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And now the tides are changing.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to focus. Also, it's very important that we never forget that, yes, we're talking about this high-profile cases, but this is happening to everybody, everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, from the person that works at, you know, the 7-Eleven to the one that works at the car wash to, I mean, it's not just them. It's just their stories get pushed to the front of everything.
Yeah.
But it should be checked and investigated. And again, if somebody took a settlement and all of that.
Yeah.
Hello. Come on.
I mean,
it's pretty obvious.
What do you think, Alina?
Something smells. I mean, just like he said, you know, it's crazy just to see how a lot of things, like I said, just get shoved under the rug. Because on the basis of, well, this person's making money for us. So, or this is going to look bad. I mean, I'm so glad that the rot is finally brought to the surface, and hopefully they can do something about it. It's time. It's beyond time.
Yeah. I kind of think at the moment it's like NBC and CBS, no offense, are like they're on a race to the bottom with the way they handle sexual.
Well, on top of all of that, what is even more frustrating to me is that none of these networks can get their crap under control.
Yeah.
So if you want to go and stick up for these people and you want to be like, oh my gosh, we didn't know about that, and in actuality you did, you're making yourself look worse.
Yep.
Because if you think about it logically, totally. You have the President of the United States calling every media outlet fake news when you cannot even control your own news outlet.
Yeah.
So now it's just giving him more of a reason to be able to call NBC and CBS and all these other stations fake news. And then it just adds on to it. So like, if you actually want to do the American public a good service, like, call out the crap and get it over with.
Right.
They need a big, like, house cleaning across board.
Yeah.
And, like, every man that has his hands dirty in this, replace them with a woman.
Yeah.
There's tons. There's tons of super talent, probably smarter, because I know I like working with women personally better. I've had bad experiences with men. Bad, my personally. But it's just, I think that this whole thing where the excuse is, I was too, oh, I didn't know Matt Lauer was sexually abusing, like, women for years because I was running the division. That's your division.
Yeah, right. That's your job.
So
right.
You exactly hit the nail on the head. You looked bad either way. If you didn't know, you're not writing A Tidy House and you shouldn't be in that role anyway.
Correct.
If you did know and you covered up, you shouldn't be in that role anyway. It's so funny because these are the types of when I was still working, and you have to sort of walk a fine line when you're reporting for an outlet. And now I'm about to launch my own, so I am my outlet. I can say what I want to say, and it's like no one has the balls a lot to say this in Hollywood. That it's like you are a bad manager either way. If you knew it and you were hiding it, you're bad. If you knew it and you didn't, you're bad. So it's like get rid of these people. That's why I think the Les Moonves thing, people were waiting on the edge of their seat, because if he could hang in, then they thought it was going to flip this movement the other way. But thank God that wasn't the case.
That wasn't the case. Yeah, but still, isn't he giving $20 million to...
We don't know yet.
Yeah. Allegedly or whatever.
Well, CBS is, but that he's still supposedly... I saw New York Times reported that there's still... He ain't going away. It's saying that he's still going to try to get that $120 million golden parachute. Because he needs that. But this is a good segue.
Cry me a river, please.
Yes. It's a good segue, though, because it just... I want to touch... we talked about Julie Chen Moonves so much last week that I just want to give an update to viewers. So everyone was wondering, because after she left the talk, is she going to be on Big Brother? She will for now, as it says. She's remaining. I guess her contract goes through the mid-season Celebrity Big Brother that would be airing like up until like, I think, in the fall or something. So like up to like 2009, right? Here's my thing about it. Everyone's like, she's staying.
2019?
Yes, 2019.
I was like, wait.
Did I say 2009?
Yeah. I was like, can we go back in time?
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. So, yes, 2019. She wants to keep her job at Big Brother, of course, because she just basically has to talk nothing about this. And here's what people don't realize. The internal investigation with Les Moonves still has to turn up his results. So this is what I say to people. Sure, she's under contract for now. But it's like, if he gets... if that investigation finds out he's guilty, that looks so bad if CBS would keep her on.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
You don't think okay, so this is where I'm going to get controversial. I am so sick of... I'm so sick of this, like, being acted like women that are with men that do this. They're complicit in this. Like, she now knows, like, what her husband has done. She's sticking by him. So I get forgiveness, but, like, 12 times over? 12 times over. 12 women.
But it's her job. You technically, I mean, like, you can't just fire her and be like, oh, okay, you're gone because your husband did something bad.
Here's
if she has something, if she has a say-so in it, if she did something, if she ended up hiding something under the rug or did something like that, then sure, go ahead.
That's a different story.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is where I relate it to and why I have a bee in my bonnet about it. Because because it's like with Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. I relate it to that. Les Moonves and Julie Chen are not, like, government, you know, presidential figures. But they are big enough public figures that the rules are a little bit different than, like, people like us, right? Well, when Hillary Clinton, like, when she stood by her, it was as if, like, the press said she had to talk about it. She had to give her why is Julie Moonves, Chen Moonves not being forced to speak about this? Well, like, if either you want to keep your job on CBS, you're going to get in front of a camera and you're going to speak to this.
Yeah, but you're also, and with all the respect, but I feel like you're acting like if you live under their mattress. You don't know what dynamic they have.
Hey, I don't want to know.
But exactly, you don't know what the dynamic is like in their relationship, what's going on, if she really knows or how much she knows. I mean, we're talking about these people that they didn't just, like, you know, went to Vegas and got a hooker and, like, you know, this is more complex than that.
He should have did that. He'd been in less trouble.
Yeah. Didn't this stuff happen before they actually got together?
Well,
the ones that were accused.
Well, allegedly the way they got together, I mean,
yeah.
Didn't he have another wife? I mean, is that, like, public record or is that like my... Yeah, he did. He was married to Nancy Moonves.
That's right, he was.
Julie and him met when he was already married, let's just say. We'll leave it at that, because I don't know the details of that.
Like, he's the first. I mean, again, I'm not trying to, like, stand up for anything, but I just feel
Sounds like you are.
You have to, like... Well, I mean, the thing about it is, like, I think about it this way. It's like, I have my husband, for example, and it's like, God forbid we were in a situation like that. It's very complex. You know, right. Like, we don't know exactly what she knew or didn't know. She's not dumb.
She knows now, but
it's like, on a technicality, she be fired? Because she didn't do the action. I get what you're saying.
She can't be fired because she's married to a slob that sexually harassed women, okay? I get that. But she should have to talk about it. Like, to me, it's like, that's like, she gets to go on a show with scripted stuff now, say Julie Chen Moonves, you know, like, I'm waving a flag, like a big F you to the cameras, to every woman that came forward, both in that situation and the Me Too movement. In my opinion, I'm sorry, I'm so fired up about this.
Do you want, like, a sit down Barbara Walters?
Yeah, I kind of do.
There's no way Julie Chen is going to be like, all right, now, you've been evicted from the Big Brother house, and my husband. Let's talk about him for a second. Yeah. Like, that's not going to happen.
Big Brother, a special episode.
Yes. But I think that CBS...
When the women.
CBS is also thinking from an aspect of Big Brother fans are loyal Big Brother fans. They love Julie Chen.
I saw that online because I never watched an episode, never planned to, ever.
If they get rid of Julie Chen, I think they're giving away their summer hit. I mean, at the end of the day.
She really makes the difference, because that's like saying to me that... Tyra Banks got... You do America's Got Talent. So when... Who was the... Even the...
Nick Cannon.
So it was like, oh my God, Nick Cannon's leaving. They replaced him with Tyra Banks.
It's like the same person, America's Next Top Model, without Tyra Banks, was like, oh gosh, but why are we watching
Julie
this?
Chen was the last host in all of Hollywood that people would have expected to got that job. Yeah. Oh, let's get really hip, fun Julie Chen to do Big Brother. From CBS News. It was so ridiculous. It's because her husband gave her that.
Yeah.
Les, I really want a job that shows me my fun, flirty, sexy side. Oh, why don't you do this Big Brother show that we're adapting? That's how that went down, and I wasn't in the room for that either. Give me a break. So, yes, the fans love her now, but they would love just the next person. Like, I don't know.
It would be canceled before they've got somebody else.
You think she's that? No one's that intense.
It's not that intense of a show anymore. It's not like what it used to be. So if she goes, I think the ratings would plummet, and then it would be gone after a season.
I think the only person who could not be replaced is like the Ellen DeGeneres show can't be replaced.
But you're missing what I'm saying. The ratings are already going down. It's like a plummeting show.
Of course it is, yeah.
It's already a plummeting show. It's been on for like 10 plus years. It's going to...
Are you a fan?
I used to be.
Okay, so do you actually think she brings something to the show, coming in and pronouncing the contestant's name wrong and things like that?
No, I don't think that she brings... I don't think she brings anything to the show, but it's like the fans are crazy about
her. But do you think they would stop watching just because of her? Seriously?
It's like if you were to watch Survivor and then Jeff Probst were to be gone and they have somebody else...
Yeah, exactly. I'd be fine with that. I love change. I don't get people who are so caught in there. Like, I love change.
And particularly if it was something where, like, you know, her personality shines, along the lines of what you're saying. And it's like this thing where, like, she does this one-woman show situation that you're like, oh, my God, I got to watch that.
I'm just going to quit while I'm ahead. Moving on. Okay, let's get to this really next important story while we're on subjects that... Joseph, just tell the audience here. Okay, so there was this big brouhaha online over Kylie Jenner saying that she never had... I feel myself getting dumber repeating this right now. Saying she never had milk in her cereal, right? You did the research and found that she did, correct?
So, this made me extremely mad. Yeah, because, first of all, we need to talk for a second. Because we give these Kardashians every ounce of our energy, which I don't understand why.
Me neither.
So, I'm sitting at work. I see this story. Kylie Jenner's never had cereal with milk. And I'm like,
how?
And I tweet out, and I'm like, your dad was Wheaties man. How did he never have cereal with milk? So then I started thinking.
It's true.
And I was like, okay. And so, what I did is I typed in Google, and I was like, Kylie Jenner cereal with milk. And I started going through Google image history, and I see this picture of cornflakes with strawberries and blueberries, and it was from like 2013. So then I had to go through like her Instagram, and I kept scrolling because there wasn't a direct link.
Oh my God.
So it went all the way back to 2013.
It's a commitment.
Yes.
And then I tweeted at her, and I took the screenshot, and I was like, girl, I was like, you had cereal and milk on August 25th, 2013.
Yeah. I saw that. I love
it. Oh my God. I did that.
That's the best story.
And then I went to bed that night, and then the next day, I wake up, and TMZ pulled it, and Cosmopolitan pulled it, and all these people pulled it, but they all said they did the research.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, y'all didn't go through the timeline of this girl. And then Jason Kennedy was on E! And he was like, all right, I've got to get Kris Jenner on the phone. He calls Kris Jenner on the phone, and he's like, you know, I went back into Kylie's Instagram in 2013, and I saw this picture of her.
Oh, my God.
So is that actually milk? And Kris Jenner was like, it could be almond milk.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I'm getting dumber by the minute with that whole situation.
But it made, like, national entertainment headlines. Right. Huge. Like, Apple News, you know, huge. Like, everywhere.
But we're giving you credit here.
No, we're not giving you credit.
Thank you. Well, all of your fans are saying it's yogurt, and it's not yogurt.
Not yogurt. Don't make up any... Okay, so the funny thing about it was, is that it got... TMZ put it up. I'd seen it on his Twitter before because I was like, what's this all about? And it was like, because she's trying to lie and people are all saying like, oh, you know. And by the way, were her fans more pro Kylie defending it or more like, you're such a liar, you're... Because on the TMZ story, it was all haters going, oh, like, big surprise, another Kardashian-Jenner could be lying or whatever, like, about something. So I often wonder if this is just, like, orchestrated... Are they that smart and like the joke's on us? Like, they're not really that absent. I mean, they're good business people. We know this. Kris Jenner, brilliant business marketing woman.
Yeah.
But is this something where they woke up one day and like, I think I'm going to screw with the world and say I didn't have milk in my cereal?
They got time.
Well, haven't they tanked companies by saying, you know, what was it with one of the apps that she said, oh, this is not Snapchat. Even cool. Snapchat. It's not cool anymore. And the stock.
50 million. Because the fact that, like, when I do hate watch the Keeping Up with Kardashians, like, the fact that Kim in a July, during July, is worried about Kanye. Didn't you think it'd be so great if you're like, I'm Amber Rose and you're Kanye for Halloween in July?
Right,
this is.
Right.
So it's like, if that's like all you have to worry about, like, first world problems. So maybe they really orchestrated the cereal.
I don't know if it was orchestrated. I feel like it was just like a Jessica Simpson moment, like, you know, chicken of the sea. Like, it was just one, like, stupid thing you say because, like, there's stupid things that I didn't realize. I didn't realize that, like, the Chick-fil-A sign was a chicken in the sea. Like, you know, you, like, realize these things sometimes. And I think maybe she was like, just set it up. So I think maybe she just said it. She said it on her Snapchat. And maybe, like, but then it just took off. It's like, we just give these people such a platform, but why?
I just love the fact that you called her dad was a Wheaties guy. It's like, they never had that conversation. It's like, Dad, when you were in Olympia and stuff like that, you were like in Wheaties. You've never tried one? I wouldn't want to try it because my dad was there.
When Caitlyn was Bruce, and you know that Bruce Jenner had like such a big ego, he probably had the actual Wheaties cereal box and was like, we have 700 more.
Are you kidding me? Like, they get the box from like 1967 or whatever. And they just refill it. And that's why, like, all they eat every morning.
Yeah, cereal for life.
It's true. Anyway, suffice to say, Joseph broke that story. Joseph did the research.
Thank you.
I would just like to say, when I was running an entertainment site, I was reputable, unlike others that steal people's work and don't give credit.
Thank you.
So that's good job there, Joseph. Good job.
The biggest problem of the week. Wow.
Moving on from Kylie's cereal, let's move to Beyonce witchcraft.
Goodness.
Oh, my God. That's just funny on its face. Beyonce, I should tell viewers, Beyonce and Jay-Z are here in L.A. For their tour. And so obviously your Instagrams are probably flooded like mine. Mm. But tell a little bit about this because it's really funny.
It's bananas.
Yeah.
So pretty much her ex-drummer is filing a restraining order against her, claiming that Beyonce practices witchcraft. Okay. Magic spells of sexual molestation, extreme witchcraft, said she had murdered her pet kitten. And a whole slew of other things. So this is just bananas.
Yes.
The only magic that Beyonce is practicing is black girl magic. Okay?
Exactly.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Been a card carrier since she was born. So that's it. I don't know what is... you know, the ex-drummer's deal, but it is quite out there.
Suffice to say, the internet got a hold of it.
Yes.
And so, what were more people saying? That she was a witch or wasn't a witch?
I just you think know it's this, hysterical. Hysterical that they would even be, like, surprised by it. Have they seen Latino celebrities? It's like, you know, you walk into Telemundo or Univision, you see, like, the saints upside down and the chicken hanging. It's like, this is, like, a, you know, everyday thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, why are they so surprised?
Well, even if she was doing some, maybe it was just spirituality. Maybe she had, like, cards. Like, did he say he witnessed this?
It just said this is what went down. Extreme witchcraft.
Well, I mean, there was some extreme witchcraft with that first pregnancy because that she did not carry that baby. Like, that was a surrogate. That was some witchcraft. And I mean, you never know. Do I think that she had... I don't know. And then what is this powerful witchcraft that she's still staying with him after he ended up cheating on her? I mean, there's...
Right? Someone, after Becky with the good hair?
I would think so. If she was actually a witch, she'd have known before Solange knew. I'm just saying.
If she's a witch, I want her spells because I want that $1 billion payday.
Right?
She should write a book of spells.
Exactly.
Now that Charmed is coming back, it'll be a great time.
We do love her. Exactly. We love Beyonce, though.
It was so funny because on the internet, I was trying to pull quotes for it, but everyone had, like, gifts to go along, like the beehive coming out in COVID and all that. Really funny. So go check out the tweets online. Hilarious.
So it created good memes. So, yes. You know what? Then it was worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. So then just before our last few minutes of the show, very quickly, Trump talks. Mm. This is what I want to point to. So CNN dropped this weekend a pro-Trump contributor over abortion pill allegations. So Jason Miller, who, by the way, couldn't be more creepier even before I knew this online. Oh, like a Trump apologist. So my point I'm saying is he basically is accused of slipping an abortion pill into his girlfriend's drink. I mean, I don't even, like, that's just beyond the pale.
Who ended up in a coma, almost.
Yes.
Because she was bleeding so much.
So much. And so what I want to ask the panel, do we believe at this point, is there any... men in the Trump administration, present or past, that are not alleged sexual abusers and harassers at this point? Because I can't... You got Pence, but he's got that whole repressed, like, gay thing possibly going on, so he's not. But, I mean, it's just... This, to me, is just, again, you have Trump out there trumpeting against the Kavanaugh accuser now. Mm-hmm. Like, really, just... They're destroying this woman. It's just disgusting. She's trying to prevent the country from potentially having a second on the court, and she's getting destroyed. But there's a walkout tomorrow. Check out Me Too Movement online, by the way, guys.
Well, did you say, like, why didn't she, like, say this, like, talk about this before? And if it was real, that she would have come out with, like, told a story before?
I want to make one. I'm looking straight into the camera right now. For those people that do not understand, and they try to tell people that, why didn't you come out right away? Mm-hmm. As a victim myself, it takes a lot of damn time to be able to accept what happened, to figure out what happened, if you were in the right, if you were in the wrong, and come to Jesus moment of you accepting it. So don't ever put a label on anybody and say they should have came out earlier because they're doing what's best for them, and maybe they couldn't have come out earlier because of another reason. So don't do that.
I'm going to second that.
Amen.
I'm going to co-sign that.
Yes.
Yeah, me.
I love it how they're questioning what happened 37 years ago, but then there's, like, conservatives who, like, the Bible happened a million years ago, but they're so convinced all that's
right?
true.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just sort of, like, to me, that's similar.
And not only that,
we don't remember what happened.
And the Bible has been rewritten, like, 7 billion times.
It's the greatest game of telephone ever.
Ever.
Exactly.
But apparently
but
it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so really quick, we've got a few more minutes. In our last segment, Overheard Hollywood, I want to give you each a chance to just tell our viewers something either you're working on, something they should be aware of this week, something on your show, anything. It's your little 1 minute each platform.
Well, I'm of course going to plug Glitter Bomb.
Yes.
Please check it out. It's every Thursday at 7 p.m. on LA TV. You can just check out, like, go to latv.com and find out where you get LA TV and watch us. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of surprises, some huge celebrities. We have from Housewives to Gloria Allred to, I mean, you name it. They're coming over. And it's super fun, easy. We're not pushing an agenda. It's a party that everybody's invited to. So check it out.
Good. Joseph.
There is going to be a big movie that comes out in the next few weeks that everybody's going to go crazy over, and I just want to say before anybody goes crazy over it, I don't even know why I'm talking about this, but I just want to take a moment and say that everybody's going to be giving Lady Gaga this Oscar buzz for A Star Is Born, and I've seen it 2 times, and it was a piece of crap!
Ooh.
Oh, little contrarian Gaga there.
Sorry!
Yeah. I can't wait to cut that clip. Clip! Okay, Alina, please tell our viewers and listeners where they can find Meet the Hollywood Press.
Absolutely. So you guys can watch us on AfterBuzz TV on the YouTube channel. Subscribe to Meet the Hollywood Press on Apple Podcasts. You can rate us, give us likes. We love it. Reviews. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Meet the Hollywood Press and on Twitter at Meet the HWD Press.
Thank you to my two guests. Thank you, Alina. Thank you to all of you. And join us next Sunday back on Meet the Hollywood Press.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.